Christmas came early with 5 free transfers. We discussed strategy and plans, and if we're all rushing to use them, how we can triple up on Arsenal with the rotation risk real. And will Sam and I both be activating a chip this weekend? Hello, welcome back to the FPL pod. It's Thursday, usual game week. What game week are we on? I don't even know what game week we're on. We're at that point in the season. It's only going to get worse, isn't it? Because we're in the festive period now. Game week 16. Gosh, where's the time gone? We'll be looking ahead to that. But quickly, let's have a review of game week 15. Morning, Sam. Morning, Jules. I want to start with this because I had the best week for once.
Yeah,
for ages.
For once.
It's rare, isn't it? It's certainly rare. Sam, how was your week? We'll start with you.
It was good until Monday night. And I think over the last couple of weeks, I've said, oh, it's Manchester United, the last game on the game week. And I don't have any players. And can I get away with it? And I got away with it for the last two. And this time, I really, really didn't. So obviously, Bruno, doing Bruno things and ending up the top scoring player in the game week. So what was actually an okay game week turned quite bad on Monday evening, made worse by the fact that I did not trust Spurs to keep a clean sheet, and then they did, so bench Mickey van der Ven. And I also did not trust Bournemouth to keep a clean sheet against Chelsea, and then they did, so I had 6 points for van der Ven and 8 points for Senesi on the bench, and all the defenders that I played, with the exception of Mark Gahey and his lovely goal that he scored, decided that clean sheets weren't their thing this week. So benching drama, no Bruno Fernandes, a red arrow, not a huge red arrow though, definitely over the next couple of weeks, that will hopefully be reversible, particularly with a triple captainship to play at some stage.
And Jules, for you, couple of good transfers in, wasn't it? They paid off.
Yeah, it worked out really well. It's a decent game week, 59 points. Foden and Bruno Guimaraes, the two transfers that I made, and 12 points for Foden, 10 for Bruno, which was great. Gay O'Reilly, Petrovic at the back was good. It's the front three that, not just me, I think, but for a lot of players, a lot of managers, was dreadful. So 2 for Thiago, 2 for Mateta, and 2 for Haaland. That became 4 with the captaincy. Not good enough. And again, a bit like Sam, a bench drama, which has been a thread for all my season. Yeah. Rice on the bench, 6 points, and Mickey van der Ven for the same reason as Sam. Also playing against Thiago, that a bench, so another 6 points. So 12 points again on the bench that could have made that week even better. But 59, I think, is decent.
Yeah, I got 68. I was pretty pleased in the end because my transfers were Foden, and I had to sacrifice Virgil van Dijk, and I couldn't decide. But, and there are people that can vouch for me on this, so I sat ahead of the fantasy show last Friday and said to Praz and our producer, I'm thinking of bringing in Cash. And all week I was like, I think I'd like to bring Matt Cash, but I'm not going to do it this week against Arsenal. Or shall I? And then they were like, no, don't do it this week. So I brought in Van Hecker, still got an assist very late on. So I was very grateful for that. So yeah, 2 returns, but it could have been even better, couldn't it? But yeah, finally, Bruno Fernandes last week over Phil Foden it was the wrong week, but at least I had them both for their combined 30 points. So yeah, that was very nice. Big part of my 68 point total. So yeah, happy with that. And I've still, of course, Sam, you've still got triple captain, haven't you?
Yes.
And I've still got bench boost and triple captain. So for once, feeling a little bit more optimistic. Let's check in on the FPL pod mini league. We've got another new leader as well. However, this is never going to happen. So I'm going to say it will never happen again. I actually got more points than all of the top three. I mean, I'm still miles down the league. I'm nowhere near the top, but nice to take the small wins when you can. Henry Heiner and his team, called the A team, are top. Got 55 points this week. Had Foden, Bruno, and Szoboszlai. Ahmed Elmadi climbed up to second. He got 65 points with Senesi and Dyer, Foden, and the Manchester United double up of Cunha and Bruno Fernandes helped him get to that total. Oluwatabi Ajayi sits third. Mohsin Malik is fourth. Rebecca Maguire was the only member of the top 10 to play a chip this week. She got free hit and she went from 16th to 6th because she got 71 points for the game week. A reminder, the code is XY6XPL. Before we go any further, Jules, busy game week in FPL, but of course it's been a busy week of Europe since too.
Yeah, so we'll focus on the Champions League because obviously we're recording on Thursday morning. So the teams in the Conference League and Europa League haven't played yet, but it's been a pretty good week from an English club point of view in the Champions League, unless you're Chelsea or Chelsea fan, because that defeat at Atalanta, despite a very good first half, I thought, João Pedro scoring, but a very disappointing second half to continue on the bad run of form that they've had with a draw and a defeat in the Premier League too. Noko Palmer, who's, I think, rested in midweek, should be back at the weekend. But apart from that, pretty much the usual players, no Delap though, who's injured, but for the rest, it was a very strong team with Caicedo coming back and very disappointing from Maresca and Chelsea in the second half. Liverpool won away at Inter Milan, really good win with no Mo Salah, obviously, with a 4-4-2 diamond. And start with a Kitike and Isak up front, a Szoboszlai penalty towards the end that got them that win. Arsenal very impressive in the 3-0 win against Club Brugge away. Madueke with two goals. A lot of rotation, five changes from Mikel Arteta, a lot of rotation. Saka on the bench, Rice not there, Timber not there. So it was good to see Gabriel Jesus coming back. Martinelli also scored, but Madueke was the star of the night. Manchester City, big win for them away at Real Madrid. Nico Reilly with an outstanding performance going forward, especially. Haaland scored on a penalty and O'Reilly had the other one. Newcastle 2-2, got paid back really late away by Leverkusen. There was another golden penalty. Luis Smiley scored. Voltemade did well. Joe Linton got injured, though, so if you have him, he might be doubtful for the weekend. And finally, I kept the best for last and for Sam. Tottenham with a wonderful victory against a massive team in Europe, Slavia Prague, 3-0, two penalties, one for Kudus, one for Xavi Simons, although Romero wanted to take it, and an own goal. So it was still a good night for them.
They're all big wins in the Champions League, Sam, aren't they?
It's a brilliant evening. I had a lovely time. Sam came back to say hello. It was lovely.
Thank you very much for that, Jules. I want to dive into the rotation at Arsenal in a little bit more detail later, because that could affect what I do with my transfers. But talking of transfers, in the pod last week, and pretty much everywhere you went, if you were talking or looking at anything FPL, you will have been reminded that, of course, we got five free transfers after Saturday's deadline. So we were hounding you. We were harassing you, saying, make sure you use them. Well, after the deadline, you'll have seen whatever happened. Hopefully you did use them. It went back up to five, which was a lovely early Christmas gift, wasn't it? And the big question is, are you going to do what a lot of kids do at Christmas, Sam, and open all your presents at once? Or are you going to hold some of these transfers?
Yeah, I'm not that kind of kid, I'm afraid. I like to spread it out over time. So yeah, for sure, I'm not going to use all five at once. I actually don't think it's a problem, though. Like if you're waking up,
some people
think,
need to, don't they? If they're there for a reason.
Exactly. So if you're waking up and you've got a team full of players that you're thinking, why on earth did I go there? Then it's absolutely fine if you want
Sam,
to use all five
of them. Sam,
you're
not feeling that about your team, no? Joke.
I have moments. I have moments with them. But actually, there's only a couple of them that I'm really waking up thinking, what was I thinking? Why have I gone there? Because all of them are chipping in at certain points. It just tends to be when I've benched them, which is fun. So yeah, there's no like hard and fast rules with this. I think it's just, you know, if you feel like your team needs one, then use one. If your team needs all five, then use all five. The one thing I would say is that obviously we are at maximum capacity for transfers now. So if you don't use one this week, you'll still have five next week. You will not have six. So
it's almost like
you might as well use one.
Yeah,
you might as well use one. Yeah, otherwise you're not going to benefit as much as you could from having them.
Jules, you're 100% the kid at Christmas that used to open all their presents straight away.
Yeah, completely. But I think this is like a mini wild card. We said that before. It's a massive gift from FPL. It's almost like if you check your bank account and suddenly you got £1,000 there that you don't know where it's coming from. It's a bit like that. So if you need a lot of surgery for your team, use 3, 4, 5 because you can obviously swap a third of your whole squad, which is great. If you just need an upgrade there, filling Foden in or Bruno Fernandes or, you know, whatever player you're targeting, even if you don't really have the budget for a direct transfer, you can use two to find that money to make the big one that you want, for example. I also think that just use one. If that's all you need, you'll have another one coming for the next game week. So you'll keep your tally of five, which I think is great because there could be an injury, there could be a suspension, there could be a player that scored a hat trick this weekend and you fancy him for the following game week in your team. So it's a great tool to have. It's huge to have those five free transfers now. And we said it last week, it's even probably too kind from the FPL, the people to have given us all of that. I don't think many players would have needed all five, but we take them. It's just making sure that you use them properly. That's the thing.
We're getting them now, aren't we, Sam? But you can almost use them to your benefit mid-January if you want. You can almost tick those five over in terms of make a transfer each week. And then if you have an emergency, I don't know, on ahead of the games on Boxing Day on the 27th or whenever, like you could literally, you don't have to use them now. I'm kind of seeing it as like a mini wild card when I next need to do it. And I don't, like you, I probably don't need to make five. That said, I probably do need to make two this week. So I can't quite do that. But I was never going to get to five in any other life, I don't think. So I'm kind of treating it as a bit of a treat. It's like they've helped me out because because I wouldn't have got there. And the other flip side of looking at it is, if you've got a bench boost like myself, you could actually really upgrade your bench, have a brilliant bench. Obviously, you don't have any more money to fund that bench. That's the only thing. It's not like you're all of a sudden going to get an extra million to make those players better on your bench. But you can use those transfers to make yourself have a really good bench, couldn't you? That's another way of looking at it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there will be managers that treat this really differently. And I quite like this about it because it will differentiate how the game is played for different people. Because, you know, in reality, some players will go, well, I need it. I'm going to use it. I'm going to optimize my team ready for a bench boost. So I want to make sure that as far as possible, this is the best team I can get out for this week. There'll be other managers that look at their team and go, one free transfer, one free transfer, one free transfer over the next few weeks. Loads of transfers in January. I can delay using my second wildcard till a bit later on, and that will help. And I can target players as they come back from AFCON, like as we start to see them come back in January, we could maybe then look at bringing players in there. We've obviously got to get the transfer window open again in January. So there's an opportunity to tweak your team in and around people either leaving or coming in and what impact that might have on your FPL team. So it's definitely worth thinking about not just splurging them because we can and we have them. If there's a player that you specifically want to target, a Thiago, a Foden, somebody that you think is going to hurt you over the next few weeks, and it makes absolute sense to use your transfers to do that. And using two or three of them this week, I think makes a lot of sense. And then hopefully that sets you up nicely for the festive period, and then you can keep some back for January. That's, I think, is my plan.
Even if you use three this week, you'll have another, so you'll have two left plus the one that will come before. Mm. So you'll have another three for the following game week even. It's
going to be quite easy to come back up again.
Yeah, definitely.
You say that, and now we'll just get a spate of injuries, Sam.
Well, that's true. We have had a few already.
I know.
Like, we have had some this week that we're going to, or some managers may find that they've got three or four injuries in their team as a result of what's happened over the last couple of days. So that is something to be mindful of. I'm looking at mine and it doesn't look too bad at the moment, but, you know, I've got another set of games to be played out tonight and obviously press conferences to find out about some of the players that have been left at home during the European week, which is always a little bit of a worry. If I see them on the bench, I'm happy because I think, oh, you're having a rest. Yeah. When they're left at home, you kind of go into a bit of a meltdown and go, ah, what are you doing? Why are you not there? Get on the plane, because then I'll feel better if I see you there.
Let's dive into that then, because as you said, there'll have been a few people panicking when they saw the team sheets coming out of Champions League. And perhaps it was a relief that we do have the five transfers. And it was another reminder that maybe don't make your transfers too early, because Europe can change things in a big way. This week is the perfect example of it. Jules, I wanted to start with Arsenal, actually, because a lot of people will own Timber. What do you think is the latest with him? He, of course, missed out on that big Champions League win.
Yeah, he's still at home, not even on the bench. We expected a lot of rotation from Arteta anyway for this game, not because they took Bruges lightly, but because it was a game that even with the B team, they should have won, and they did win with a mix of an A team and a B team, really. So Timber got, I think Arteta said, kicked in the Villa game the last weekend. I think it was a knock. I don't think there's anything too much more serious than that, in an area where Arsenal have obviously the injury to Saliba, to Gabriel, the suspension for Calafiori that we will come into. No Mosquera either for now. So we even saw Norgaard playing as a centre-back in that Champions League game against Bruges. So for Timber, the expectation, I think, is that he will be back for this game on Saturday evening against Wolves. For the same reasons that there was rotation against Bruges, I think there will be rotation against Wolves too, because no offense to Wolves, but they are not really good right now. And I think this is a game that Arteta has always looked at. I can rest some of the players who've played the most, maybe. So I would expect, again, a few surprises maybe in the starting lineup from Arsenal on Saturday.
As someone who might be considering using a chip on an Arsenal player this weekend, I was quite heartened when I saw Bukayo Saka. I think he came off the bench on the 71st minute, and I know there'll be a lot of people who own Bukayo Saka and will potentially be looking at him as a captaincy option. I know you don't have a crystal ball. I know you're not speaking to Mikel Arteta regularly, but would you be concerned about his minutes this weekend?
No, because he, like you said, he was rested for a reason on Wednesday night. So that, I think this is perfect when you can not play him for 70 minutes in the game, in the Champions League as well. Even if he travelled, he will start on Saturday night. I think you could probably see Rice coming back into the team, but maybe Zubimendi I think could be on the bench easily for the game against Wolves with Norgaard coming and playing that number six position. I think you can also see Gyökeres starting and Merino having a bit, not that he's heavily owned, but Merino could have a bit of a rest too. So I think for Saka, you're safe. I think I'm pretty sure he will start on Saturday. And I think if you've got the triple captain still available, it's definitely a great pick to use it on him.
I am heavily tempted, that's for sure. Keeping with Arsenal, Calafiori is a popular sell this week, isn't he, Sam? Because he got his fifth yellow card of the season. Timber's a popular replacement for him so far. I wonder if there's a few people that are maybe thinking, shouldn't have done that, despite what Jules said, that it'll be a bit nervy going into that game on Saturday night. But the Arsenal defence in general is having a bit of a tricky time in terms of injuries. And we saw what happened against Aston Villa last weekend.
Yeah, I was thinking, obviously, with my free transfers, I have got some slight goalkeeper headaches. And in my head, I was thinking,
we can just clip you saying that up in game week one and just keep replaying
just
it if you want.
Just keep it. And every week, just play the same thing.
Every season, really.
Yeah. Every week. In fact, keep it for next year. Keep it for 2028, 29. Yeah, just keep it forever. I've got some goalkeeper headaches. And in my head, I was thinking, right, well, I've only got two of the three Arsenal slots filled at the moment. Because obviously, when I sold Gabriel, I went to Virgil instead. Whether that was a good idea, we can maybe discuss another time. But because I don't have three Arsenal slots filled, and because it's a game against Wolves, in my head I was thinking, well, maybe the best thing to do is just to get Raya. But with so many problems across that Arsenal back line, so much rotation, we're not really seeing that Arsenal team that we love in terms of the defensive unit for FPL. So now I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm not going to do that. Maybe I'm going to go somewhere else and try and get another attacking Arsenal player instead. But yeah, it is, it's definitely causing problems. If you went Calafiori to Timber at the beginning of the week, let's just hope that Timber is, as Jules thinks, okay, and will be all right. But yeah, it maybe does put me off a secondary investment. I think if you've already got them in play, then you stick and you hold, and because it's Wolves, right? And they've scored one goal in forever, it feels like. But otherwise, it's difficult, I think, to invest in them, not really knowing when these players might be back. I mean, obviously, Calafiori will be back next week. So you have a bit more certainty there. It's just a one game miss. And of all the games you would have wanted him to play for, it's this game, isn't it? It's so annoying if you had him.
I was going to say, it's not very timely, is it? And with the injuries, but also, Jules, the threat, the understandable threat, given the schedule of rotation, because we'd all really want to triple up. And obviously, a lot of us sold Gabriel and are down to two Arsenal players, minus Saka and Timber. For this game, I'd always earmarked, knowing we had the five transfers, that I'd bring in a third Arsenal player. And it's kind of really tough to know exactly who, isn't it?
Yeah, although because of the five free transfers now, you can easily use one almost just for this week, for this Arsenal game against Wolves. So we know the guaranteed starters just because there's nobody else. So White will start. If you fancy him, huge differential, obviously. You would think he should get a clean sheet, all those points for sure, and potentially some attacking return as well. Maj Lewis-Kelly will start at left back because, again, this is the replacement to Calafiori. He started against Bruges in the view of the Wolves game. So again, you can just have him just for 1 week. And then because you've got all those free transfers, it's not that you're wasting one because it's going to return you some points. Just use it for that. And then you can even take him out of your team for the following game week, game week 17. And that will be completely fine. The other one guaranteed is Incapié. So if you prefer Incapié as a centre-back, potentially a threat on set pieces attacking wise for Arsenal, go for it. But if you want another Arsenal defender and you want to be sure that the guy is going to play, White, Lewis-Kelly and Incapié give you that. Timber, there's still a doubt, even if I think he will be there and should be the fourth in that back four. But there's still a bit of an uncertainty over his fitness, and they will check between now and Saturday evening. But the other three are pretty much guaranteed to start. So even if you want just to burn on those and think like, I know he's going to start, he should return defensively and maybe offensively for Lewis-Kelly, but more likely maybe White, then go for it. They're not too expensive. And if you don't want to keep them after that, then don't.
Yeah, Declan Rice was someone I'd earmarked for this game week, but I'm just a little bit nervous about it. Sam, you're like me, you've got the two Arsenal players. Will you be looking to add a third, or have you kind of got the same conundrum that I've got?
Yeah, so the plan was always a third Arsenal player this week, probably Rice, possibly Gyökeres, depending upon where we were with his return. And then with my goalkeeper issues, I then thought, well, probably Raya is actually the real sensible pick here. Like, it's not that fun. like the others feel more fun, don't they? Like punting on Gyökeres for this week against that Wolves defence, or even Rice, they feel a lot more fun and a lot more potential upside. Whereas with Rea, I kind of feel like I'm going to get six. And look, with me and goalkeepers, if I get six, I should be absolutely thrilled about that. But they're just, it feels a little bit boring to go for the Arsenal goalkeeper in a week where I would expect Arsenal to do very well with in terms of the outfield players that they have on the pitch. So yeah, I definitely need a third. I just need to weigh up in my own mind which third one is the best one.
Okay, well, keeping with the defence and injuries, Crystal Palace's defence have been so reliable, haven't they? And we've given them a lot of love on this podcast too. But Daniel Munoz has had to undergo surgery. He's had surgery on his knee. They think he'll be out for 4 to 6 weeks. But of course, Oliver Glasner said, when you've had surgery, you never know. We're a little bit cautious, but it doesn't look so serious. I know that injury will have broken Sam's heart, but maybe it makes it a little bit easier for those of us that don't have Munoz, because he was that little bit more expensive. But managers need to sell him. And Jules, how does this affect the whole Crystal Palace defence as owners of other players in that back line?
No, it's huge. And maybe even as much going forward than defensively for them, because as a right wing back, he was heavily invested in what they would do going forward, attacking wise, whether it's an assist, but there was a lot of threat on his right hand side, maybe more than Tariq Mitchell on the other side. So I think Klein will probably replace him most of the time. I think there's probably other options, especially in the smaller games in Europe, but certainly in the league, as we saw last weekend, Klein is the guy. I'm not sure I'd be invested in Klein. You could go for Mitchell on the other side, or you could just keep Gehi and maybe Henderson in goal to have two of those defenders. They've got three, but they have one tricky game on Sunday at home to City. But after that, it's Leeds. Spurs is probably a bit trickier as well, and then Fulham. So I don't think it's a bad idea to invest in Crystal Palace, bar maybe the City game on Sunday, although it's at home. But yeah, if you have Munoz, and for everything that he brought to your team defensively and going forward, it's such a huge blow.
Do we still need to have a Crystal Palace defender though, Sam? I'm just thinking because of ownership.
Yeah, I mean, we will see a big decrease, obviously, with Munoz over the next few days, because people will look at that and go, well, I don't really want to keep him in my team for 4 to 6 weeks. I think if we hadn't had that update from Glasner and we weren't really sure what was happening, he wouldn't necessarily have been that heavily sold this week. But obviously we are seeing that, and it's coming at a time where they've lost Ismail Assar as well. So we'll see that happening, I think, over the next few weeks. I'm still going to keep Gehi. Like, for me, Munoz disappearing doesn't make too much difference in my head. Like, defensively, yeah, okay, they might not be... They might affect them a little bit, but I think George is right. I think it affects them more in terms of their attacking play than it does their defensive play. And Gehi, as we saw at the weekend, even without Munoz there, he still chips in with that last minute goal, which I was very excited about on Sunday, particularly once the clean sheet had gone, because you're kind of there like, oh, this is a bit frustrating then. And I, going into the game, saw it as a real opportunity as a Gehi owner. I was like, well, this is great. It gives me a week of upside over Munoz owners while they try and work out what's going on with him. So for him to then get a goal was really nice. So yeah, don't panic. I don't think I'd double up on the Palace defence right now, but I think if you've got Gehi or Lacroix or Richards, you're fine to hold them. It's not going to have necessarily the same level of impact that we might have seen with like Saliba and Gabriel at Arsenal.
Okay, if you are looking for a new defender though, perhaps you're one of the unlucky ones that's got a Calafiori and a Munoz, or maybe you've got a Timber and you don't have any patience with him. Like I said, Timber was the most popular replacement as it stands for Calafiori, but who would be top of your defensive Christmas list, Jules?
So Matty Cash, you know, your favourite.
You're nearly man,
exactly, that you should have brought in but didn't. And now maybe you will, but you know,
I'm sorry,
still
I had
not
him on
sure.
Had him on the free hit. He didn't return against Wolves, so it was very hard to then justify bringing him in. But of course,
that's true.
He turned
no,
up
I know
then,
what you
didn't
mean.
He?
Yeah, he was one of my differentials when he didn't do anything. And then since then, he's done a lot more. But I think if we don't go the Timber route for all the reasons we've just explained, I think Cash is decent. I think Chaloba has been ranking up the points because he also scoring a couple of goals. I think Anderson at Fulham is good because they've got decent fixture this weekend against Burnley, and then it's Forest and West Ham. So even from a Fulham point of view, defensively or attacking wise, if you fancy a Harry Wilson, who we talk about in a bit, then why not I think Anderson is a good shout. And that's probably where it will be. Gehi, we mentioned, if you don't have Gehi already, I know it's City this weekend, but after that, I think it would be good for you to have Gehi.
Agree, Sam?
Yeah, I do. I particularly like a lot of the ones that George just mentioned. I think Anderson is a decent pick at Fulham. I think there's another pick at Fulham that is also better in terms of the midfield, but I do quite like what's going on there. Also, a little shout out to the Brentford defence. The fixtures are nice. They've got Leeds, Wolves, Bournemouth, and then Spurs again. So, decent set of fixtures for them. So you could go for a Collins, or if you've got no budget, a Seth Vandenberg, regular DEFCON points for him. So opportunity, I think, to take a cheaper defender if you want to go for one of the Bs.
Okay, well, keeping with the Crystal Palace topic of conversation, the most popular transfer combination this week is actually Jean-Philippe Mateta out.
With
Thiago
no
in.
More boom, 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 Jules.
No boom, boom, boom.
To be fair, you haven't sung that as much this season.
I know, he hasn't scored for
it. No, he hasn't been doing anything.
There's one upside to him not scoring. We haven't had to listen to as much of Jules.
Oh, no.
Final one. Because, well, it might not be the final one. He could come back to bite us. I think we've spoken about it on a few pods, and I've spoken to a few fellow FPL managers in recent weeks. Like, I've wanted to sell him, but the fixtures have been nice. And then the early substitutions, the fact that he hasn't been returning, it all feels like almost a perfect storm now, Sam. I know you love him, but does now feel like the right time to move him on, given his form and also kind of the other problems that Crystal Palace have got too.
Yeah, and I think Glasner heading into this evening's game talked about how tired Jean-Philippe Mateta is and how he really needs a rest. And the fact that he was saying he had a minor injury when he came back from the French national team, which maybe explains why we've been seeing those early withdrawals for him. He's been managing, again, it's a knee issue. Palace feel like they've got a few knee issues going on at the minute. He's talking about how there's a little bit of swelling there. He's not feeling very well. So that's why he's not travelled to the European game. I think it's very hard to hold Mateta at a time where there's good fixtures for other teams with players around the same price point. And because we have these five free transfers, I think you get a little bit like, well, I've got these transfers, I can use them. Would I hit out Mateta? No. But would I use a free transfer to swap Mateta for Thiago or Voltimado, despite the fact that neither of them did particularly well last week either? The fixtures that they have moving forward are nicer than the ones that we are seeing for Crystal Palace. All right, Crystal Palace have got a couple of nice fixtures in there, but the reality is that Man City, Spurs and Fulham, those are all difficult fixtures. There's a nice game in there against Leeds, but he's not in form. They don't have Munoz, who's a big part of their attack. They're without Ismaïl Assar, who's also a big part of their attack. So he feels a little bit isolated anyway. Mm. He's obviously still on pens, so if he's playing and they get one, then he could hurt you in that way. But holding him continues to feel a bit of a challenge. So I think he's a relatively obvious sell.
Okay, so over 730,000 managers at the time of recording have made the move from Mateta to Thiago. When you look at Thiago's fixtures, Jules, I can completely understand that. And also, at a time when we're all trying to invest a little bit more in the midfield, the likes of Foden's price feels like it's going up every single day. Bruno Fernandes, people are looking at him after what he did last weekend. Maybe we need the money, because there is a price difference between Mateta and Thiago, to put into the midfield. Do you understand all the reasons people would be making that move?
Yeah, absolutely. Mateta, 8 million is not cheap at all. It's quite an expensive forward. One goal in his last five in the Premier League. That tiredness. Sometimes he just played 60 minutes because he can't give too much more. We've explained how difficult it's been, I think, for Palace to play Sunday in the league and then Thursday in Europe and then Sunday again. Hence the injuries, hence the like average form, let's say, of somebody like Mateta. So Thiago is a million less, a million cheaper. We said they've got good fixtures, Brentford coming up with Leeds, Wolves, and then Bournemouth. I think Palace after City have Leeds and Spurs, and then I think West Ham or somebody like that. So it's not too bad in terms of fixture for Palace, but at the moment I think they're struggling, and Mateta is definitely struggling with fitness. So either bench him if you are happy to go with a front two, or if you would rather keep a front three, then yeah, it's probably time to sell him, as sad as it is for me to say.
Jules, you got early on to the Voltimado train and you're off it now. He's proving a popular buy for Mateta. Johan Wissa's back now as well, so I'm a little bit nervous about holding Voltimado as well, but people are bringing him in. What do you think?
Yeah. I think it's a tough game on Sunday against Sunderland in the derby as well. The Ware Tyne derby, not the Tyne Ware. Tyne Ware is the other way. It's when the home game is at Newcastle. I've learned that yesterday, so here we go. but I think Voltimade will play because this will be Newcastle's strongest team. You can't rotate for a game like this. It's impossible. And Wissa probably come off the bench if needs be. He can play up front with Voltimade. He can replace him like we saw against Bayer Leverkusen in the Champions League. I still think, and I've said it to you many times and on other shows as well, that Newcastle right now are not using Voltimade like they should, not playing on his strength. Mm. It's still very much the team of last season with Isak in and not so much suited right now to the qualities of Voltimade, who's a complete different player to Isak with a very different skill set. So I think there's much more to come, I think, from Voltimade. And his form has been a little bit patchy. You know, he can get a penalty there and there. But again, because you don't play on his strength, it doesn't give you as much as you could get from him, I think. So I can understand why a lot of people bring him in, although I think this is a tough game away at Sunderland. But after that, the fixtures are decent, really, although there's Chelsea and Manchester United, so they're not decent. I got confused. I read the wrong line on my notepad. So I personally would not go for Voltimade this weekend, but I might be wrong.
Yeah, if you've got him though, like I'm not going to sell him. And Mateta is, no. I want Thiago. So for me, it's an obvious Mateta to Thiago situation. But I don't know, just at the moment, the forwards feel a little bit tricky, Sam. I'm wondering if Watkins is going to come on my radar, because we've said it a few times on this podcast. I feel like we probably have been sleeping on Aston Villa. People are talking about them in a title race. And I don't think there's one Villa player between the three of us on this show.
No. And it's mad when you think about those opening 5 weeks of the season. They were so bad. Like, they were brilliant, weren't they, in pre-season? We were all on the Villa train. We were like, this is going to be great. We'll have Watkins. We'll have Rodgers. We'll get Matt Cash. We might even have Martinez. Roll forward those first few weeks of the season, they were awful. They couldn't score a goal. They were conceding left, right and centre. Now they're in the title race, which is bonkers.
I think it says a lot about the league so far, doesn't it? Really? It's been 100%. A wild season.
Anyone can beat anyone right now.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Villa. I made a list the other day of the things I wanted to do with my 5 free transfers. It was quite a long list. But one of them was invest in Villa, because they look really good. They're in a good moment right now. There's plenty of players that are starting to just find that rhythm and find that form. Matt Cash is on my target list as well, but so is Morgan Rodgers. Ollie Watkins, I still feel a little bit uncertain about. I want to see regular returns from him. Like at the weekend against Arsenal, there were a few moments where he could and should have scored. And was it against maybe a different goalkeeper? Maybe he does. But also maybe he's a little bit wasteful in that game. So I'm not going there yet with Watkins, but over the next few weeks, I could see myself going there. And Voltimade, if he doesn't start doing something, if I'm not starting to see those regular returns picking up, and, you know, Jules is right what he says, Sunderland, Chelsea, Manchester United before Burnley, those next three, they're not easy games for Newcastle. They're difficult set of fixtures. That is definitely on my radar. It's not a transfer I would want to make right now to go over to Watkins, but he's definitely sitting there in the background as a possibility.
Okay, let's have a quick chat on the midfield. It probably shouldn't be a quick chat, because it feels like midfield is the topic that is so hot at the moment, because there's so many players we want, and perhaps we can continue this conversation in future podcasts as well. But also, in a way, it kind of feels obvious who we all want in our midfield. Phil Foden by the time this podcast records, he could be 15 million. It feels like he's going up every hour in price, doesn't it? Nearly a million transfers in this week. He was the most transferred in player ahead of game week 16. And for once, the curse of the most transferred in player didn't kind of strike. He was the most transferred in player 3 times before, actually, and never returned in those weeks. And Bumota Foden is really popular as well. And I get that, because everyone wants Foden. You've got to find the money. And Bumo's going off to AFCON. Is it a little bit early, Jules? I know a few people personally who'd sold him ahead of Wolves.
Oh,
yeah, that was a mistake. We knew that United would do well against Wolves, especially Old Trafford, then Bomo, Bruno, all of that, Cunha, Mount. They're most creative players in that team, all returned in that evening on Monday night. So it was a mistake if you'd sold Bomo probably too early. Is it a mistake to not keep him for this Bournemouth game? I still think that if you have a United forward or attacking player for this Bournemouth game, keep him. Whether it's Mbomo or anybody else, keep him. I think he's worth it. And then you can let him go because obviously we know he's going to miss a big chunk of the next 6 weeks or 4 weeks at least or so. So I would not let Mbeumo go if I had him. And I don't have a United forward or attacking player, and I really want Bruno Fernandes for this Bournemouth game, for example. Even if after that is Villa, Newcastle before the return fixture against Wolves at Molineux, I still think United are in that kind of form going forward where Bruno will always create something, and then it's a case of somebody taking that chance. But I think Bruno is a must-have right now from your midfielders. I know he's expensive. I know him and Foden, and if you want Saka as well, that's a lot of money. Mm. But there's no Salah to think about right now. And I think there's no Palmer to think about either. It's a bit too early. So go for Bruno.
Yeah. Are our three midfield slots, do they have to be those three players that Jules mentioned then, do you think? Should they be top of people's wish list if they don't have them? Yeah.
Yeah, at least two of them three.
I think so. I think at least two. I think three is a little bit more difficult because if you want three, you probably do have to use more of your free transfers and you probably do have to make a sacrifice elsewhere. Like, I can have all three by sacrificing Virgil.
And that's what I did.
Yeah,
that's what I did last week. My team value is awful, and I looked at it last week and was like, I have to sacrifice somewhere. And in hindsight, I probably could have gone Mateta to Thiago. In fact, no, I don't think I quite had enough money, but I went from Virgil. It worked last week. Is it going to work long term? I don't know. But you have to make sacrifices as an FPL manager.
Mm. Absolutely. And the thing with Virgil is that you know, at one point on Saturday evening, he was on for quite a big haul, like about 70 minutes. He had DEFCON in the bank. He was on for a couple of bonus points. He had the clean sheet. And I was like, okay, right, this is why you own Virgil van Dijk. There's going to be a 10-pointer coming here. And then they concede and then it all goes wrong and he ends up on three. And it's like, well, okay, I'll take the three, but I'm disappointed because I spent a lot of money on you. Whereas I'm looking at the midfield, and particularly on Monday evening, obviously I brought in Foden last week, so that was good. I had Saka in play anyway, so that's been good. He's returned well for me over the last few weeks. I've been very happy with him. But Bruno is painful, and every week it continues to be one of those ones where I look and I go, oh, who are Manchester United playing now? And is Bruno going to hurt me again? Because again, like Virgil, if he's not getting an attacking return, you're pretty sure he's probably going to get defensive contributions because he's doing one or the other, plus, you know, the penalty factor. And then you look at the fixtures that they have coming up, and it's Bournemouth next, who have been in really mixed form. But then after that is Villa, who we've just been talking about how good they are right now, before Newcastle and then Wolves. So opportunities there. Bruno's the one I don't have. Can I get there? Yes. I would have to make another sacrifice in the middle as well. And I actually quite like my midfield at the moment. So, and to get up from Elliot Anderson or one of my cheaper assets, I've got to find a lot of money. So just doing Mateta to Thiago is not enough. I'm going to have to go quite low with Virgil in order to make that work. Maybe down somewhere like Seth Vandenberg, who we talked about earlier. And then I'll have the money for Bruno. But I don't think I would sell Mbeumo this week. I think I would give him this week. And yeah, then definitely. Do it. I think people are doing the Foden move because Foden keeps rising in price and people are worried about being priced out of owning him, which I understand as well. But I think given the fixtures for the two clubs, I'd keep with Manchester United for this week and then look at investing in Man City the week after.
I am a little bit worried, but I was worried last week and I guess it's going to be a constant, perpetual worry about Foden. City went really strong in the Champions League in midweek. At some point, is Foden going to get a rest, Jules? Again, I'm asking you to get that crystal ball out, sorry.
Yeah, that's a good question. And again, with Guardiola, you never know. There are options. He took him off after 70 minutes in Madrid on Wednesday, which is maybe a sign when the game was not won yet. They were 2-1 up and they stayed like that. But it was unusual in a way of taking out Haaland and Cherki and Foden all at the same time, all together. If the game was at home at the weekend and maybe not a team like Crystal Palace that are always a bit tricky to play against, I would think that maybe you could see Reinder starting and Marmoush starting and Savinho starting. I don't think he will go there. And the point that he took off Cherki, Foden and Haaland with 20 minutes to go, I think shows that they should start on Sunday at Palace.
I hope so. Okay, so if you're still with us now, this pod's going to go over. I'm going to apologise to the production team, but we've had a lot to talk about this week and we weren't banking on all the confusion happening in Europe as well. So hopefully you'll stay with this little bit longer. And we're going to go on to differential of the week now. And I'm sorry to gloss over it because we are short of time, but for once, both of you had returns. But unfortunately, well, Jules, it was a bit of a double-edged sword for you because you brought in Bruno, so you got his points, but unfortunately Sam also picked Bruno
Guimaraes,
sorry, I should say, as her differential. So you got the points, but she beat you in the differentials because you went for Cunha.
I always listen to her,
points.
You know.
Yeah, he only brought him in because he listened to me.
I do what you say, always.
There you go.
Okay then, so Sam, that means you get to go first. Who have you gone for?
I'll be quick this week then. So it's Harry Wilson at Fulham. He's going to cost
you. I had him on my list.
Well, pick another one.
Well, at least you've got a list of more than one.
Yeah, another one.
I have another one because I always have two. I know you.
Yeah, there you go. It's going to cost you 5.3 million. He's only owned by 2.9% of the game. In the last 3 weeks, he's had 10, 8 and 8 points. He's been directly involved in 4 games in the last 3 Premier League matches, 2 goals, 2 assists. God, Burnley side have conceded 30 goals. Only Wolves have conceded more with 33 and they've only kept 2 clean sheets. So I suspect Harry Wilson is a great buy for this week, but also for the longer term as well, because he's a great enabler and the Fulham fixtures are nice.
Jules, who are you going for? Who's on that long list?
So, I mean, long, there was 2 names because I thought Sam would pick Harry Wilson or maybe we'd done him before. So I've got for Mason Mount. It's another United player, but I was very impressed with him on Monday night. I know he was against Wolves, but still he'd returned in 2 of his last 3 Premier League games. The third one, he came off the bench and didn't start. I think he helps this United attack to be more fluid. He's a very unselfish player and the others are selfish, not in a bad way, but it's a very different style. So it costs you 5.9 million, so it's not too expensive. It's a huge differential because he's owned by less than 1% of the managers. And I think Bournemouth are going through a bit of a difficult patch too. So I know after that it's Villa and Newcastle. So those 2 games are tricky after that. But certainly for this game week, I think Mount against Bournemouth could be good.
Transfers and captains. Is this the week? I think we've already mentioned it, isn't it? I'm very tempted to not only captain, but to triple captain Saka. I'm 99% going to do it, to be honest, because my other opportunity, of course, a reminder that you need to use a triple captain by the halfway point of the season. We're going to get 2 of them, so don't hold it. It's either going to be this week or Haaland against West Ham. Sam, you've also got yours. What are you thinking?
I don't know. I'm so torn. It's either Saka this week. And when I looked at the Arsenal team for last night and he was benched, I was like, right, I'm doing it. I'm just going to go for Saka this week. Like do you remember the last time I captained Saka over Haaland? It didn't go well. And so that plays in the back of my head as well. Like, but I think this is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to triple captain a player in form, in a team in form, in a home match against the worst team defensively, or one of the worst teams defensively in the league. So I think I will probably do it this week.
Same.
West Ham have improved a little bit.
You're too sure. It's a no-brainer.
I'm like Sam in terms of, so say this week, myself and Sam do triple captain Saka.
Yeah.
And then Saka blanks and Haaland returns.
I know,
Haaland,
but you could say that for every week then.
Yeah, but then we're at risk of...
But next week it would be on him, not Saka. So the triple captain would be on him.
Yeah, but next week Haaland can blank. Like when I play my triple captain, even against West Ham, because he blanked against Leeds. And then Saka might score.
But how much more hurts if a normal captain... And if Haaland, who is always the most heavily owned, the most obvious captain, perma-captain him, if he outscores your triple captain, then a week later, you know you could have triple captained Haaland and then FPL works in funny ways and probably then Haaland will return against West Ham. I think that's...
But then if Saka does well and you haven't triple captain, you're going to kick yourself and that would have been a massive green arrow for you too.
At least you still have the opportunity. At least you still have the opportunity the week after. Yeah.
It's risk or what?
But yeah, it does feel like... The stars are aligning a bit with him being benched and only coming on for like the last 20 minutes. Jules, who are you going to captain? Are you captaining? And I'm guessing from what you've said that you're going to go Saka or an. You don't have Saka actually, do you?
No, I don't have Saka. No, so it's Haaland for me because I think this Palace team is tired. Even if I expect Glasner to make loads of changes for the Shelbourne game in the Conference League on Thursday night, or Thiago at home against Leeds because Brentford have to bounce back after. Not being very good at all against Spurs last weekend. So I expect a reaction from them. So I think Thiago is a decent option, but I will probably go for Haaland.
Okay. And transfers then. We're all going to make one because of what we've said, because we want to keep tops up at 5. Jules, you said that you understand if people make multiple, you're going to be making multiple to your team.
Yeah, absolutely. I want Bruno Fernandes in the team and Harry Wilson. So they will come in for probably Minte and Neto. If I can find some money somewhere with the third free transfer somewhere in the defence.
I knew he was one of those kids that got too excited and used them all at once.
Three or five is not too bad. You know, I'm not too greedy.
They're there for a reason, and that sounds like they sound like upgrades to me. Sam?
Goalkeeper incoming.
which way are you going to go with that?
Probably Raya. I'm probably just going to be boring and go from Pope up to Raya. There are others that I could go with, but in reality, I just think I'm going to be struggling constantly otherwise. So I might as well just get the best goalkeeper in the game and be done with it and live it set and forget. And then it allows me to be tripled up on Arsenal, and that feels like a good place to be anyway. I want that. So that kills kind of two birds with one stone. Mateta to Thiago, that's on the cards as well this week. Thiago's already taken a price rise this week, and I probably should have gone early on it. But to be honest,
we're thinking weirdly similarly at the moment. It's strange, isn't it? But
it is.
You always copy on Sam anyway. We know that.
No, I think we're just in the same.
I didn't know that Sam was going to triple captain Saka. Genuinely, I was the first person to say it on the pod. She's definitely not copying me. I'm not saying that, but just to prove.
Yeah, I think for me, this week, with all the European action that we had, I just wanted an opportunity to just wait and see these games play out and get some more updates on some of these players that I was a bit concerned about. So this feels like a good moment to do the Mateta to Thiago move now that we know a little bit more about him. So I think I'll probably end up just doing those two. That I currently do have Virgil van Dijk on the bench this week, which makes me think, well, maybe I should just sell him and be done with it, because then I can take some money and I can invest it into my midfield. I can upgrade one of my midfielders. Maybe I don't think I'll be able to upgrade. If I go for Raya, I can't upgrade as far as Bruno, which makes me think I'll just leave Virgil for one more week. And then next week I'll have a little look at what I'm doing with the midfield, because actually I quite like my starting 11 for this week. So yeah, I think goalkeeper change for sure. Thiago in for Mateta, and I'll probably just do those two.
Okay. I'm definitely going to do Thiago in for Mateta, unsure elsewhere. Okay, then that's where we will leave it. As I said, thank you if you have stayed with us slightly longer this week. A reminder, it's a Saturday afternoon deadline this week, 1:30 p.m. because there is no early kickoff. So that's 90 minutes ahead of the 3 o'clock games. There's just two games at 3 o'clock as well. Chelsea taking on Everton, Liverpool against Brighton. The Fantasy Show will be back on Friday as well. Lee and Az will be back on Tuesday with game week 16 off the bench. And we'll be back as normal on Thursday to look ahead to game week 17. Good luck, everyone.